Point. Good point by you, but you understand what I was going for here.
Hour three, kicking off the Fan Run Studios. Let's kick off with some Hour three headlines. Cam, what do you have?
All right.
The All Hawks. Right, partner.
The Hawks. Oh. NBA title odds. I've dropped from 66 to 1 to 40 to 1.
Hey, how about it?
They're trending in the right direction.
How about it?
Hope everybody got it 66 to 1.
Let's go.
They're coming. The Hawks are coming. Right.
All right.
NFL and Ice Cube have partnered up for a economic equity initiative for black-owned businesses. The league announced Thursday that it is partnering with contract with Black America Institute, an economic inclusion initiative led by artist and entrepreneur Ice Cube. So, NFL.
Wait. Ice Cube's doing what?
Partnering with the NFL to basically an economic equity initiative for black-owned businesses.
So what does that mean exactly? He's going to help them get black partners, or what does that mean?
Yeah, it says the NFL has been working to increase economic equity and partnerships with black-owned businesses. So the partnership with Ice Cube's company will focus on identifying league-wide opportunities in the financial, tech, and production sectors with a concentration on increasing direct and indirect spending to national black businesses to help close America's racial and economic wealth gap. So, Okay. Yeah, I guess they're just going to look for opportunities and try to, help collab with that.
Okay. Speaking of the NFL and new partnerships, they have hired a new executive, David Hahill. He is the first executive that will be dedicated to the sports betting business. So he is the vice president and general manager of sports betting. So basically, he's going to be in charge of the NFL and how, I guess, just focus on, I guess, what goes on with legal sports betting. I don't know if he's going to be looking at maximizing profit for it, making sure like it hasn't. No, red flags are happening with lines and cheating. I don't know exactly. He's worked at the NFL for 10 years. He led the league's go-to-market sports betting initiative. So now in this new role, he will be leading efforts to protect the integrity of the game. Okay, there we go. Red flags, like I said. Advance the league's brand and reputation and grow the value of the NFL's data and intellectual property and drive fan engagement globally. Okay. So I don't really know what the hell that means. But, hey, we got a gambling guy now in the NFL. So there we go.
Love to see it.
In 2021, the Washington franchise was granted a sports betting license in Maryland, but Hahill has said he does not see the league or teams directly operating a sports book. So basically, they're trying not to let you be able to gamble at the actual game, like at a kiosk. Boo. I feel like that's probably a line that shouldn't be crossed.
Yeah.
Imagine being there gambling at the game and then your team screws you at the end of the game.
I'd be so angry.
Yeah.
How did you get that roof?
Yeah. There's some NFL news for you.
I don't think we mentioned it, but James Harden has declined his $47.3 million option with the 76ers. He does plan to re-sign with them, but wants to give them a little bit more flexibility.
James Harden was offered $200 million from the Brooklyn Nets last year.
Yeah.
And said, nope, not signing it because I'm going to get $250 million in the offseason. And now it's looking like he might get, a 2-year, $100 million deal, which, this is still good money, obviously. But, he sort of kind of fumbled the bag here. But credit to him for, I guess, realizing that, hey, I'm not this guy anymore.
Yeah.
I can't get
I need to get some help.
Yeah, I can't get the $200 million contract. Joel Embiid also told him, hey, he's not a $200 million player. James ain't that guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But credit to him for being like, yeah, I'll take less. That way Philly fans maybe won't boo me as much. I get to hang out with my old boy P.J. Tucker, who everyone is lining up to give money to. And it looks like the Sixers are going to give him 3 years, $30 million. And
yeah,
it's a little dangerous because P.J. Tucker is 37 years old. You don't see a lot of NBA players surviving past the age of 37, especially when you start getting late into the next season. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Played in 70 of 71 games this year, though, so, he was pretty durable for him.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah,
could bring some toughness to the team, and like that, I feel like that's a good sidekick for Embiid to have, and maybe we'll see a more aggressive Embiid and a more I don't know. Anyways. What other headlines do you have?
All right. We had a report yesterday that ended up being kind of controversial because it ended up not being or kind of getting disputed.
Okay, what's this?
This had to do with Freddie Freeman and the Braves.
Oh, yeah.
Doug Gottlieb came out.
I hate Doug Gottlieb, by the way.
Well, he came out yesterday and had Atlanta fans in shambles early on in the day, claiming that the agent that Freddie Freeman fired that we mentioned yesterday basically didn't tell Freddie Freeman about the Braves' final offer, and that Freddie would have accepted that deal had he had known about it. So, obviously, that stirred the pot quite a bit in the Atlanta and Dodgers fan base. And then, yeah, the agent that was fired came out and basically denied.
Said he would be willing to testify under oath.
Yep. And they're looking into legal options as well, he said. But, yeah.
What are the legal options here?
What is it, like, what is the word for when?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know what it would be either.
Yeah, just slandering. I think there's a
libel has to be written, so it was tweeted.
Yeah, I guess.
But does that count as being written? I guess it was a report. I don't know if I doubt they actually like try to sue this guy, but they're strongly denying it. Got some entertainment and wrestling news, Cam, as Logan Paul officially signs with the WWE. Geez.
Oh, really? Okay. Huh.
Logan Paul, a WWE superstar. He was good at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, I respect the hustle. These guys are making money, just doing whatever they're doing. But I'm tired of seeing these guys.
I wanted to see more of him. I don't know exactly what he is going to be doing here, but, you know, I got tickets at the end of July for SummerSlam in Nashville, and I hope Logan Paul's there.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if he will be or not, but I hope he is. I would imagine that he will be, but we'll see. But now he's got his official deal.
Okay. Well, good for him. Still securing the bag from just everything that he does. I still don't even know how they got to this point, but they did.
Anything else we need to hit in headlines? There's no headlines out here, Cam?
I'm struggling, yeah. I've been trying to find stuff that feels relevant enough to talk about, and there's not
the
not
people
a ton.
Need the news. Do you not understand the responsibility you have to deliver people the news?
That's why I'm searching every angle. Here's one. U.S. Ryder Cup captain Jack Johnson basically says he doesn't believe players that are in the LIV golf tournament are going to get selected next year for the for the Ryder Cup, for the Team USA, stuff like that.
There was talk that would even be outlawed, right? Like they wouldn't be allowed to be in there anyway. So I guess they haven't officially came out and said, like, hey, these guys can't play in like the Masters next year or the Ryder Cup. But I guess that's still kind of the expectation for people, I believe. Not really surprising there. Although I guess the 54 tour starts off with another one tomorrow, correct?
Okay, yeah, I think you're correct there.
Here in the States. Okay. We got our third day of Deshaun Watson's hearing.
Yeah. Yep, he is I guess they're going to – it's weird that there's, like, no news about it until they just say meeting's over for today, pick it back up tomorrow.
Yeah, that is weird, and it also is weird that, like, the NFL, like, one of their owners, Dan Snyder, has, you know, been subpoenaed by the House.
Yeah, and he's just
refusing. And he just refuses to accept the subpoena, and, like, people are tracking his yacht. He's just been hanging out in, like, the south of France. I think it's where he's been at. I don't know. I thought it was the south of France. Maybe I'm wrong. But, like, he's just been chilling out on his yacht. Like, nope, not going back to the States. Not doing this stupid subpoena. So it's kind of weird that one of their top quarterbacks dealing with hearings and their owner's just like, nope, not coming back. Never going to get me.
Yeah, I guess you can't really just, like, go out in the water and just go get him. Is there some sort of maritime law or something there? I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Not a cop. Not a lawyer. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Segments brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, they want to help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's g3helpme.com. Once again, g3helpme.com. If you're just joining us, the big news of the day. No, not DeJounte Murray and the best backcourt in the NBA. Not that. It is the stunning developments of USC and UCLA looking like they are heading east to the Big Ten. Cam, the conspiracy theories floating around that make the most sense is that basically this is just USC and UCLA reserving their spots in the Super League.
Okay. I can see that.
It has long been held to be a belief, or it has been a long-held belief, I guess is how I should word it. Let me try that again.
Rumor?
It's long been believed that the Big 10/12/14 and the SEC / S... WC/SMC. I don't know. What do you consider Texas? Like, is that west, south? Is it? It's not east. I mean, is it middle?
I consider just south.
Just south. So just the slash SC, South yeah. Conference. That the Big and the SEC were basically in cahoots, and they're planning on just starting a semi-professional minor league.
Holy cow. Yeah.
Well, that just basically these two conferences are going to look around and say, yeah, we don't need the NCAA anymore. Mm-hmm. We're going to take 35 to 40 of your best programs, or maybe we kick out even like the lower rands like Northwestern and Vanderbilt and Kentucky. And I'm just kidding. You guys can come. But like kick out some of those lowers and get down to 30. You know, so anywhere from 30 to 40, let's just call it.
Okay.
And have their own semi-professional model of college football. So USC and UCLA joining the Big isn't so much about the next 2 years. It's about, hey, we got to make sure we have a seat at the table in one of these conferences. And, you know, we're going to make this move in a couple years to go do our own thing and tell the NCAA to go to hell.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Hey, NCAA, you want to try to get us for inducements? You want to try to say we can't pay players? Blah, 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 blah. We don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need you. It's not the NCAA is the only thing that can hand out degrees. Like, we don't need you to be accredited. Still give players scout, you know, can still give players degrees and let them go to school and all that. We don't need you for that. But basically, that these schools are punching their ticket to have their seat reserved for the semi-professional league.
Good play by them, then. If this is what it takes to get in there, because you don't want to be one of the teams left behind when that happens.
Ross Dellinger says that, you know, as these conferences want to get to a little bit bigger of a number, because right now they'd be at what, 32? And again, that's without kicking anyone out yet.
Yeah.
Which maybe Northwestern would be like, hey, we don't want to be in a semi-pro football league and basketball league. We can't do that. But, again, now, like, the time is ticking and slipping away. What are you going to do, Oregon? Are you going to be serious? You're going to play in the big leagues? You want one of these other spots in one of these conferences? Because we're filling up.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come to the big boys, Oklahoma State? What are you going to do? You going to stay over there at the big 12/8/whatever? Or 10 or whatever. Damn whatever schools they got. Whatever. You going to stay over there? You going to get a seat at the big boys table? What about you, UNC, Clemson, and Florida State, and Miami? What are you going to do? You want a seat? Are you guys going to stay here and play in the minor in the minor league version of the minor league football league? Does that make sense? The minor league version of what the semi-professional league will be.
This is going to be, the semi-pro the FBS, then the FCS.
Yeah, is that what you're going to do? You're going to hang out over here, or are you going to try to join one of these conferences? Because we got probably four more. We can get four more seats in each conference to make it 20 each.
If we were doing that and I had to name anybody now, I would say Clemson, Florida State, Miami, and
Oregon. And maybe even North Carolina, because they want to bring basketball. Or maybe this isn't even basketball. I mean, it's just football. I don't know. Yeah. But I would imagine like they ain't going to let them play basketball and not let them play football. I don't know how that's going to work for other sports. I don't know. I ain't figured it out. I would assume they could do all the sports. That way they just can get rid of the NCAA altogether.
Yeah, that would make the most sense. But, oof. Think about how that would change the, like, tournament.
I mean, it's going to change everything.
Holy cow. You got 35 teams not in the NCAA tournament anymore and doing their own thing. Talk about some March Madness.
So what are you going to do? You want to reserve your spot? Because we're running out of them. Luckily for you, USC and UCLA, you went ahead and did it. You grabbed yours. Congrats. You can come.
Yeah.
You can get on the ark because we're leaving. This is about to flood. Not to get sacrilegious on you.
They are coming in twos. Okay. Jeez, this is just different.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely different. Although it's not that different because we knew this was coming, but I think maybe we thought that it had kind of slowed down after last year and we kind of held off on all the talk of, you know, things continuing to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Once Texas and Oklahoma announced, we're like, oh, no, here we go. And then we got, you know, the rumors of like, hey, guys, get ready. It's not over.
Yeah.
Because USC might be moving. Ohio State might be moving to the Southeastern Conference. You're like, hold on a second. I don't know if I believe this whole thing where you're telling me that the SEC could have 20 teams. I don't know if I believe that. But now here we are a year later, and it's right back to where we started in terms of everything is up for grabs, and it seems like the NCAA's days are numbered, and it seems like we're headed for something much, much bigger than what we're used to.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a surprise. Like you said, did think everything was settled as far as Oklahoma, Texas, and the Big 12 got their replacements, and then the schools, they left those smaller conferences. The smaller conferences even got their replacements, and you're just like, all right, cool. We got some time where we're just going to sit and wait for this to kick in. I thought we were going to get kind of almost a wait-and-see approach to see how the Texas-Oklahoma thing worked with the SEC before other teams tried to, you know, make that move, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I guess, like you said, getting a seat at the table, that makes sense. Get in while you can.
But no one likes this. Behind. No one likes this. The funniest thing is, like, hey, we had forgotten – and apparently they did too, Cam.
Mm-hmm.
We had forgotten about the whole alliance. That alliance didn't really stay together. The Big Ten used the alliance to stab the Pac-12 in the back.
Yeah.
The alliance was the Trojan horse. The alliance was like, hey, let's go.
Too, Brutus.
Let's go. I don't know if that was the Trojan horse, Cam, but I understand the reference.
He said stabbed in the back. So.
Yeah. No,
Brutus,
I got gotcha. You.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice. That was good with the Ohio State connection.
Oh, I'm going to have to go make that meme now.
Yeah, do it. Hurry, go make it. But, I mean, it was like, hey, let's go on some double dates. Meanwhile, like, one partner's eye on the other partner, like, hey, you could do better than this guy, a.k.a. me. That's essentially what it was. You got invited to the table, and you moved in with a couple, and then you took one of them out right from under them because the alliance was formed, and then all of a sudden – the Big Ten started hanging out with USC and USC and UCLA. I was like, hold on now. Wait a second here, USC. This is how the Pac-12 thinks? No. Here's how we do it in the Big Ten. You deserve the best. You're USC. Look at your teams from the 60s and 70s. You guys, you know, basically modernized college football. You deserve better.
Yep.
Wait a second. Your TV deal's worth how much? Oh, come on. A school like you used to be making at least $70 million.
You give someone with some money.
$25 million. Your games are barely on TV. Pac-12 after dark. No, baby. You deserve prime time. No, baby. You deserve prime time.
Hmm. Yeah. Ooh, wow. Yeah, come play with the big boys. Make some money. That's what they're...
Let me upgrade you. Yeah. Let me treat you like the queen you are.
Upgrade button. Jeez, I... Just feels like a... I don't know if collapsing is the word, but it feels kind of like college football is collapsing on, like, at least college football as we know it.
I mean, it's over. And, like, you know, that was already kind of happening, Cam, because, again, yeah. I don't know really any SEC fans that are happy about Texas and Oklahoma coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's going to take forever to get used to, I think, for one.
It was all just like a handshake agreement that, hey, we're going to work together. We're going to try to stay together. We're going to survive what's happening in the SEC. We're not going to do this to each other. We're mm-hmm. an alliance. Yeah. And then it all fell apart within a year.
We're all friends.
The Big Ten was Dirty Mackin the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You the played Big yourself.
Ten was Dirty Mackin the whole time. Let's go to break as we try to figure out what's next and how quickly it's going to happen here in college football. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Apex Pest.
I don't know how many schools are left that could get a seat at the table. I think in the ACC, the only schools that I feel comfortable with that feel like they have value are Florida State, Clemson, and Miami.
Yeah.
There's only three. Then you'd get into, like, hey, is Louisville's basketball worth bringing?
Mm-hmm.
Is North Carolina's basketball worth bringing? Is Virginia Tech football big enough?
Yeah, I think the first thing we'd have to figure out is kind of like you said is it just going to be a football thing or are they factoring in the basketball?
Well, at least with this move here, it is said that USC initiated this. They got the ball rolling on this.
Okay.
And they are taking every sport except beach volleyball.
Oh.
Which I don't know if the Big Ten has beach volleyball or what. I don't know, but they're taking every sport but beach volleyball to the Big Ten.
Okay. So, yeah, okay. So, I guess they're full sending this.
Now, you know, if we're talking about this impending Super League that's coming in a couple years,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's yet to be seen.
Okay. So, I guess, yeah, at least the start basketball factors in a little bit.
According to Dellinger, Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated, this deal could be done in a matter of days/hours. It's down on the 3-yard line. He says it is down the line. I don't know what the hell that means. I'm just going to say it's on the 5-yard line of close in terms of getting done.
Okay.
The big 10/12/14/16, I don't know what the hell to call it, is prepared for an announcement with the target year being 2024. So, you know, within what would that be? I guess we have two more regular football seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Schools expressed interest several months ago, and the negotiations escalated over the last few weeks. Which it seems like a pretty easy ask if you're the Big Ten. Like, if USC and UCLA say, hey, how do you guys feel about getting into LA? And they're like, yeah, that's cool. To me, that's all the negotiations would have to be for me. Like, hey, we go to Fox and say, hey, Fox, if I can get you into L.A.,
you coming?
You guys good with that? You want to give us some more money? And they're like, yeah, we'll give you more money. And you're like, all right, cool. Negotiation's over. We're good with that. Perfect. Lock it in. I see this point by Kevin Clark. Kevin Clark of The Ringer. And, you know, I actually think this point is something that is a really good point, actually. He says the NIL and the transfer portal will not destroy college football's popularity.
Mm-hmm.
Which I agree with.
Yeah.
But says scrapping a good chunk of traditional rivalries might. Says you don't. I don't want to watch USC play Iowa. I want to see schools that absolutely hate one another act like lunatics towards each other for years at a time. And I do think that there is probably some truth to that, Cam. If we get rid of all of geographical and historical rivalries, like even in the SEC, like the fact that we're not going to play the entire East every year.
Mm-hmm.
And if it when it goes to 16, and you're looking at Texas, Oklahoma, and you're going to three-team pods, and all of a sudden you might not play Kentucky or Georgia or Florida except once every 3 years, you're going to lose some of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose the geographical and historical rivalries, the annual stuff, the trash talking. Because, yep. Like, let's face it, in football at least, we don't hate a lot of the Western teams the same way we hate our Eastern teams. Now, maybe we grow to hate those teams, but it's not even like you're going to play them every year to where you can hate them. And I think eventually we might look around and realize, like, hey, all we're left with is subpar football to the NFL. Like, this is semi-pro football, and that's not necessarily a good thing because when's the last semi-pro league that you really loved?
Exactly. Can't really think of any. I think I completely agree with that, and I think that's part of my issue when I try to think of, like, what teams are coming where. I keep thinking back to, like, when I was thinking about Oregon, I was like, oh, are they going to bring Oregon State with them? And that's kind of where I always, my mind drifts when I try to think of teams moving. It's just like, oh, so you're, like, it makes sense. USC, UCLA, you're saving that rivalry right there.
Sure.
But, like, yeah, every team doesn't have, like, the power for it. Like the Oregon State example, if I stick there. Oregon State's not relevant in, like, anything except baseball, really.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, they're relevant in baseball, but, I mean, again,
but outside of that,
really,
like,
cares about that on a national
scale.
Yeah,
exactly. So outside of that, you're just kind of just like, oh, yeah, we'll take Oregon. And they're like, eh, we don't really want Oregon State. But, and I think you're completely right. You'll just start losing some of these really good rivalries that we've seen forever.
And that's what makes college athletics and college football what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's I think most people agree that, like, hey, it's not necessarily the actual product. Like, college basketball is not as good as the NBA. The level of play is not as good.
Yeah.
It just ain't. And most people acknowledge that. College football, not as good as watching professionals. It's just not. The players aren't as good. You can argue about whatever you want, but the players aren't as good. What people say they care about is the history.
Yep.
The tradition.
The love of the game, the passion.
The rivalries, all of those things. And we're very close. Like, some people might already feel a little disconnected because the players are going to be getting paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, whenever you can't just say, well, they came to our school.
Just to love the
because they love us. It's like, hey, we're coming here because you gave me a lot of money. Which has always been the issue or the case, but, like, now, like, it's been removed. The mystery is gone. I'm here because I love Raising Cane's fried chicken. And they pay me a lot of money. Raising Cane's gave me a big check. I appreciate the Outback Steakhouse for sending me here. Shout out to Pilot and Valvoline for getting me here.
People don't like to see the money exchanged over the table. At least not everybody. So.
Right, but I mean, like, we're already losing that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you pretty much got left to just tradition and rivalries. And that has a real concern right now that might be going away pretty shortly soon.
And that's what it seems like. Unfortunately. Like,
so do you care? I mean, is that
I like rivalries. I love that. I love having those battles all the time. I love rivalry week and stuff like that. Seeing, even though, because, I mean, those are the games that you're always like, oh, it's a rivalry game. Anything can happen in this game. And that is what happens. Like think about how mad people would be if you got rid of, like, and obviously I don't think this one's going to happen, but if you got rid of, like, Alabama-Auburn, like, people would riot.
Yeah.
And it's obviously not the same level for everybody across the country. But still, you're going to have a large part of your fan base that are very upset that they don't get to actively hate that team once a year. Ruin that team's season or anything like that. Like, that's some of the biggest joys for some of the smaller teams is when they go in and ruin one of their big rival seasons by getting a win that you didn't think was possible and stuff like that. But, yeah, you basically just eliminate all of that with this.
And a lot of people are going to be upset. And we're going to complain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to feel the same. And I find myself straddling that line of, you know, some of this stuff I don't really care about anyways.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff does matter. Do I care about playing Vanderbilt every year? No, I don't. Mm. You can get rid of that. It's not going to bother me. But do I actually like playing Florida every year? Yes, I do.
As painful as it is, yeah.
I like that. It's something you look forward to every year.
Yeah.
You can't convince me that it's better for the sport to lose that.
Yeah, you can't convince me of that either. I think it is a detriment to the sport. Like I get.
Do I want Tennessee to play like Texas A&M more? Sure, but I don't want to play Florida less.
Yeah, it shouldn't have to be an either or.
And maybe that sounds a little like I'm being a hypocrite and like going back on what I've said in the past about not wanting to play Alabama every year. And you know what? I do kind of understand where people are coming from. Do I want to win more games? Yeah, but. You know, if the Alabama rivalry was actually,
Competitive.
Like, it would be cool to play them every year where it was actually a competition. That probably is close to happening again, you know, just not because of Tennessee necessarily, but because, like, Nick Saban, surely to God, can't keep this up for 10 more years. Like,
let's hope not.
It feels like we're closer to the end of Alabama than the beginning. Let's say that.
Yeah.
And if it's anybody but Nick Saban, it might feel like it's an actual competition. I would like to watch those teams play. It's true, even though I've, you know, been advocating for years about getting them off the schedule.
Yeah, it's still a game you like, but yeah, it just hasn't helped us winning wise recently. But yeah, no, I like playing them. And yeah. I like playing Florida.
The SEC isn't better without that rivalry.
Mm-mm.
Can I do without Tennessee, Missouri? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I could. And maybe that's, like, the case. Maybe this all ultimately could get fixed if you actually got rid of some of the schools you don't really care about. Maybe that's the solution,
maybe that's what we do, yeah.
Maybe the solution is, like, you look out here and you actually, like, start voting people off the island. Could you get me more excited about a semi-professional league if we actually, like, only took the best teams? If we quit faking?
Yeah.
Like, hey, sorry, Missouri. Yeah, I'm going to have to send you back to the Big 10/12 or 14, whatever it is. The Big 12. Going to have to send you back there. Yeah, thanks for trying. It just didn't work out. We got to break up. Nothing lasts forever. Here's some cab fare and a gift basket. See ya. Because I don't really care about the Missouri game.
Yeah, not
see
at all.
Ya. Get out of here. Quite frankly, I wonder what the teams in the West feel. Do the teams in the West like look around and be like, hey, honestly, this Ole Miss and Mississippi State thing, like, it's not really they're not really worthy of having a spot here. Because I don't think of them as relevant, but like I wonder in the West, do they care? Because to me, getting rid of Missouri and Vanderbilt would be pretty easy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
What are the equivalents in the West? Is it Mississippi and Mississippi State? Like, hey, sorry, you're going back to the minor leagues.
I don't know. I think it's a lot tougher in the West, just because, like, yeah, they're not obviously perennial, but they've had their highs.
Bad.
Yeah, they've had decent highs.
Vanderbilt is the literal worst.
Yep.
The literal worst. Because it's coming, and you have another report from Nicole Auerbach, who writes for The Athletic, and she's kind of talking about what we had discussed that says she just got off the phone with someone, doesn't say who, got off the phone with someone who believes this eventually leads to two mega conferences with the Big Ten and SEC having 20 or more members. So, like, that seems to be where we're headed.
Jeez.
And I don't know if that's better. Would I love to see Tennessee? Like, I mean, there is a part of me that's like, hey, can we get a little crazy? And, like, would it be good for the sport if you all of a sudden were playing Ohio State and Michigan every now and then and giving fans actual big-time matchups? Like, would I like it better if Tennessee was playing USC more often and we actually had a chance to go to the Rose Bowl and watch a game? Is that better for the sport? Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I just don't know how they're going to make that work with school. And, like, try. I don't know.
Seems like a lot of logistics to work out, but.
But.
I guess they're down for the cause at this point.
And if they do it right, maybe it'll work out. Like I said, when you do think of, like, the actual best, like, could you get me excited about Tennessee going to Penn State a little bit more often? Or like I said, the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Would a trip to Austin, Texas to play Texas be cool when they are in the SEC? Yeah, sure. It will. And like I said, I'm not going to miss most of these SEC games. But there are a couple. Like the Florida game.
Yep.
South Carolina, I don't really feel like they deserve a spot at the big boy table either. 40 seems too much, though, guys. I will say that.
Yeah.
I will say that. 40 seems like too much.
That seems like way too much. Can't even fathom that, really.
The NFL doesn't even do that. Like, 16 apiece, like, is as much as we can do. So, like, it's time we start voting teams off the island. 20 or more are just too much. It's just too much.
Yeah, like you said, NFL's not even that. Jeez.
Let's get rid of that. That would be – maybe we can compromise here. Let's get down to, like, 32 teams. You think you're better than the NFL, bro? It's the NFL.
Yeah, they always win.
Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call on the program today. What do you think, Cam? Show fly by, drag by? I will say thank you, USC and UCLA, because it was going to be a tough day. I'm not going to lie.
I think that helped propel us through that last hour.
We got done. I mean, we did a good hour on the Hawks and, like, being stuck in the middle, but I don't know if we had much more in us. Pretty solid show.
Stretched on the SEC's projected standings for a second.
If you were wondering what Charlie's takes would have been, like, I mean, I'm imagining he's wailing and gnashing his teeth and talking about how college sports are done.
What'll happen to Air Force's football program?
Yeah, exactly.
What'll happen to them? Where's Akron going to play?
He's going to Pac-10 after dark, Pac-12 after dark. That's, he's going to be in shambles about that.
That's one of my favorite things, John.
Last call today is brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis. They also bring you the Fan Run Radio live stream. That's right. If you're listening right now on your app, we're on the web browser. The live stream is brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine. Visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com to find out why people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life with Linderman Sports Medicine. If you are not active right now because of any discomfort or pain, you need to check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine, located in Memphis. But people come from all over. Visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com to learn more. All right, any other news we talked about? Because this did kind of hijack the show. I mean, we got the we got the NBA free agency starting at 6 o'clock. But other than that, I mean, I feel like, you know, the NFL is kind of in a holding pattern right now outside of Deshaun Watson and outside of, like, Daniel Snyder hiding from the police / the NFL. Not really the police, but you get it. All right, so let's go on. You got a last call story for us?
I do.
Okay.
Two women had this in their luggage.
Hope it's something sexy.
Yep.
109 live animals found in women's luggage.
What?
In massive airport wildlife trafficking.
I was thinking maybe guns, some drugs, some sex toys. I was not ready for her. How many did you say?
109. Two women have been arrested in Thailand for allegedly attempting to smuggle at least 109 live animals in their luggage, including porcupines, armadillos, turtles, chameleons, and snakes.
So, like, all exotic animals.
Yeah, as they tried to board a flight to India. Yeah, they said the official spotted a couple suspicious items in their suitcases following a routine X-ray inspection. Upon further review, authorities discovered a total of at least 109 animals, including two white porcupines, two armadillos, 35 turtles, 50 chameleons, and 20 snakes.
What kind of turtles?
What kind of turtles are they seen
as exotic? Are you allowed to? You're allowed to have turtles, right? Are there any
types?
Yeah,
but there's some
like snapping turtles. Can you have them as a pet or no?
Not necessarily. Okay. Like, the most turtles you'll see in, like, pet stores are, like, just the little, like, red-eared sliders and some other, usually common, pretty common turtles, but they're probably getting some exotic, like, since they're in Thailand, I'm assuming they're trying to get some, like, exotic kind of Asian turtles.
Oh, wow, we got
somewhere.
More breaking news.
Oh, really?
This is big.
Okay.
Kevin Durant requests a trade out of Brooklyn.
Oh, it's all coming together, baby!
What the hell is happening
today?
Oh,
what is going on? Oh!
Kevin Durant, according to Shams, has requested a trade out of Brooklyn. Leave before you get left. Brooklyn was supposed to, like, I wanted to see Ben Simmons and Kyrie.
Well, I'd rather see Trey, Deontay, and Durant.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, hey, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins. We ran out of picks, though.
Give him whatever.
I really hope I didn't mock Miami just to see him end up in Miami.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Where the hell is Kevin Durant going to go?
Atlanta. Collins, Herder.
Yeah, I think you got to have picks in this.
Our pick next year.
Okonwu?
Probably Okongwu.
Did you see where we offered Okongwu for DeJounte?
Did we really?
They said that. Something I read on Spurs Talk. Like it was like a web, like their website that was kind of keeping up. I don't know how good the reporting was. Close to like what was, he kept trying to take a victory lap. I'm like, I feel like you're kind of wrong here. But either way, he said that the Hawks offered Okongwu instead of one of the unprotected picks, which I feel like is dumb.
I feel like that's the only place I ever heard that report, because I thought he was one of the guys that they really are going to try not to trade unless it. I think Durant, you trade him, but.
Sure, yeah, for Durant. Yeah.
But I also saw when the Nets were talking about what they wanted for Durant, they didn't really want picks. They wanted a bunch of, like, young players.
Who? San Antonio?
The Nets.
Oh, the Nets, yeah.
So,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think we'd be fine. You throw, like, one or two first-rounders in there and you you just give them a bunch of the young players.
What the hell is happening today?
Whoa, and Utah's trading Royce O'Neal to Brooklyn for a first-round pick. So, I don't know what's happening. Brooklyn's just...
I mean, I don't know if that... I mean, that's... I guess, is that their KD replacement? Hey, here's Royce O'Neal.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like they don't really want DeAndre Hunter, but...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Royce O'Neal. What the hell is going on?
Man, what a trade we're about to make. Man. I'm dreaming of Trey... Durant,
they're saying the Brooklyn Nets are working on finding a trade partner with, you know, Durant's management team.
Mm-hmm.
He has to go somewhere where he can win a championship. I mean, hell, he might end up in Memphis. Who knows? Every time something comes out, John Morant tweets out easy money, because, like, I mean, he's the easy money sniper on Instagram.
My man be tweeting. Holy cow. Also, man, Shams is smoking Woj on this stuff today.
Yeah, Shams is doing good. Pretty. I mean, I don't know if this. I mean, does Kyrie now stay and get his own team, or
Kyrie's just like crap?
Which I mean, no, I mean, because no one wanted him, so like, yeah, now maybe they'll trade him. Like, I don't know. Maybe Kyrie just stays and like has his own team and
Simmons running around. And Collins.
I do think it's pretty. I thought it was a buzzkill whenever this happened, and. You know, they said, like, hey, Kyrie's coming back. Like, okay, KD's going to stay. But KD, like, you leave before you get left. That's the key. And he's like, nah, man, Kyrie's tripping. I'm not staying here. I still don't really like what Brooklyn's doing. No thanks.
Oh, that's incredible.
Durant's 34 heading into year 16. I don't know if I believe what everyone's saying is it could be the largest trade packages in NBA history. I don't know if I believe that. year 16, age 34, Achilles. He's going to get a big trade package. Don't get me wrong. Like, Durant's going to get – you're going to get something big in return, but are they going to get something bigger than, like, what?
John Collins?
Like, Anthony Davis? I mean, they got Anthony Davis and, you know, they got Brandon Ingram and Lonzo and, like, four first-round picks and three pick swaps. Like, they didn't get more than that.
Yeah, no way. See, I think you could throw in Collins, Herder, Onyeka, and a couple picks. And
I don't know,
that's,
man.
Similar.
I don't know. Let's go to break. I was planning on, or not go to break. The show's over. The drive's up next. I'm planning on us not doing a show tomorrow and enjoying the fourth, but hell, who knows?
Maybe more news will keep coming.
Who knows? maybe we'll be back tomorrow. Maybe we won't. The drive's up next.